Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
And this week, I want to continue looking at Acts chapter 2. If you'll get your Bibles out, we're going to be going through this. We're going to start in verse, we'll start with verse 11. So the Cretans and the Arabs said, "We hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocked, saying, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, and it is only the third hour of the day." So let me stop right there real quick. You know, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. The people, the 120 or so that were in that room, have now gathered outside of the upper room. And they're out in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says they are speaking the wonderful works of God. And all the people around them are hearing them in their own tongue and their own dialect, right? These fishermen, these women, the widows, and these women who were not respected for their teaching, they're out there declaring the wonderful works of God, right? And the people are amazed. And what I want to look at first today is you'll see that I believe in verse 13, they said, these guys got to be drunk. So the first explanation for what they were doing when man looked was that they had to be drunk. Peter says, no, they're not drunk because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. That's what the time is. 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk because, my goodness, they haven't had breakfast yet, right? Because the first response of man was that for these people to be doing what they were doing, they had to be drunk. The first response of man was that there cannot be any supernatural explanation for the joy, for what was happening, for what was being said. Listen, what they were doing was not mumble jumbo. All right? They were going, you know, Honda motorcycle over and over again. Right? It wasn't mumbo jumbo. What they were doing is when the people heard them, they heard them in their own tongue. Now, they could have been speaking in tongues like you and I are accustomed to. But what we do know for sure is that all those around them heard them in their own language. So it wasn't like they were just up there rambling like a train and no one could understand what was happening. Everyone could hear what they were saying. And what they were saying made sense. They were declaring the wonderful works of God in Jerusalem, in a city, all right? So there were lots of people there, and they were there to honor God and to worship. And so there were lots of Jews in the city, so they weren't surprised by the wonderful works of God that they were speaking. Yet they still said, these people must be drunk.
Yes.
And the reason they had to have thought that was, is they had to wonder where the joy came from. Where the happiness came from, right? Where did the boldness come from? Where the sudden urge to go from being gathered in this room, sequestered, away from everybody? Where did it come from that they suddenly were pouring out into the streets, declaring the wonderful works of God? See, the Bible says that you and I are not to be filled with wine, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. See, the world gets its boldness. The world gets its joy. The world gets its happiness through being drunk on wine, being drunk with the world's pleasures.
Amen.
Right? That's where the world gets its liquid courage. Right? That's where it gets its joy. It's from worldly things, alcohol, drugs, possessions, lusting after things that should not be theirs to lust after, right? Wanting things that aren't good for them. That's where the joy comes from. The happiness comes from. The boldness comes from. That not caring what's going on around you. So these people, they didn't care what was was going on around them. They were just declaring what God had just done and what God had done through Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. They were declaring the wonderful works of God, and they couldn't understand how these 120 were now pouring out into the street with joy and happiness. And you and I must recognize that our joy, our happiness, our peace, our strength, everything that can make us content on the inside comes from the Holy Spirit who takes up residence inside of us. That's why I can be joyful in the midst of trouble. Why? Because God lives inside of me. That's why I can be happy even when I don't want to be happy. God lives inside of me. That's why I can be joyful in the midst of pain and hurt and sickness and suffering. Why? Because God lives inside of me. Do you understand what that means? That God lives inside of you? He's always there. His power is there. His presence is there. The God who knows everything about you, who knows what you're facing, who knows what tomorrow holds, he is always there inside of you.
Amen.
That comforter, as Jesus said.
Amen.
Right? He's always there.
Yes.
You and I know what it's like to be abandoned by people. We know what it's like to feel alone. We know what it's like to just be left on the roadside and people forgetting about us. But see, here's the great thing. When you know Christ is Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. No matter what the world around you says, you're not alone.
Amen.
No matter what happened, no matter who rejected you in this world, you're not alone.
Amen.
You've not been rejected. In fact, the only opinion that matters loves you.
Right.
Is that the only opinion that matters? He loved you so much that not only did he die and raise again, he loved you so much that he indwelt you. He takes up residence. He lives inside of you.
Hallelujah.
And that's pretty awesome, right?
Amen.
That God decided that he loved us so much that he decided that he would come and indwell us.
Amen.
Like, even as a pastor, and even though I've been a Christian for years and years and years and years, it's hard for me to grasp what it means that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me.
Amen. Yes.
It's one of those things that's so hard to explain unless you've experienced it.
Amen. Yes.
It's, but he's there.
Amen.
And he can be the source of boldness.
Yes.
The Amen. Source of strength. The source of joy. And when the world looks at you and says, hey, yesterday I heard or saw that you were going through X, Y, Z. Why are you so happy today? Why are you singing a song today? Why are you glorying today? You have nothing to be happy about. I can say I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And not only is he there, he's making intercession for me to the Father, right? He's interceding on my behalf. Even when I don't even know what to pray for, how to pray, he's praying for me.
Amen.
Right? Even when I don't even know how to ask. You ever been in so much pain and hurt that you don't even know what to say except cry? Well, the Holy Spirit knows, because he knows your mind and he knows the heart of God. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
What does that mean to us when God knows your mind, but he also knows the heart of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
That means he loves you as much
Thank
as the
you.
Father loves you and the Son loves you.
Yes.
And he was willing to come down here and indwell this.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Right, to indwell this.
Yes.
Because of God's love for us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the love for us. It confounds the world, and they have no way of explaining it except to explain it through worldly things. Mm-hmm. Drugs, alcohol, something that can be explained outside of the supernatural. Because the world cannot understand spiritual things.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
But if you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you know Christ, you have an understanding of spiritual things.
Yes.
Amen.
You have an insight that the world does not have.
Yes.
You have a future and a hope.
Yes. Amen.
Right? I have a future and a hope. And so that's the first thing I want to show you. Is that the world's response around them was that they obviously got this newfound joy and boldness from somewhere other than God. They must have been drunk. But that's not where it comes from. Our joy comes from the Holy Spirit inside of us.
Amen.
Don't be drunk on the world's pleasures and on the world's drink, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our joy. That's our strength. That's our comfort. That's our peace.
Amen.
Not the world's thing. See, alcohol will leave your system. and leave you with a bad headache.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit's always there.
Yes.
All right. The only side effects of the Holy Spirit is joy, peace, love, gentleness, kindness,
yes, right.
Self-control. I don't like self-control all that much, but you get the point, right? That's the things that the Holy Spirit provides. That's the side effects.
Yes.
The world stuff has way worse side effects that leave us in the morning, that leave us when it crumbles and turns to dust.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is eternal inside of us, and He will always be there.
Amen.
So Peter says they aren't drunk because it's only the 11th, it's only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. And then he goes on to quote the prophet Joel in verse 16. He says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Those verses are important. Now he's quoting from Joel. This is something Joel said through God, that God laid on him and gave him to say hundreds and hundreds of years previously. But those verses are powerful. Because what they tell us is that the Holy Spirit is for everyone.
Yes. Amen.
Servant, elite.
Yep.
Man, woman, boy, girl.
Right.
The Holy Spirit and His presence and His power is for everyone.
Amen.
So age does not excuse us. You can never be too old or too young to have the Holy Spirit and be used and empowered by Him.
Amen.
You can never be too poor or too rich to be empowered and used and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, right? And let us know that you can never have done something so awful that God will not forgive you and indwell you with the presence of the Holy Spirit to use you, the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you.
Amen.
Men servants, maid servants, sons, daughters, right? All flesh. No standard to give, no worldly standard. You know, the homeless person has got as much claim to the Holy Spirit and His power and His presence than the person sitting in the White House.
Amen.
Or the person, the billionaire who you know, is sitting in his mansion.
Amen.
Right? There is much claim to the power,
yes,
and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that means you and I as a body, first we need to recognize that we have a claim,
yes,
to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we also may recognize that when people come in and sit on our pews and our chairs, they have a claim,
amen,
to the power and the presence,
amen,
of the Holy Spirit. Their smell does not disqualify,
amen,
them.
That's right.
Their attire does not disqualify,
amen,
them.
Yeah,
right? Their past does not disqualify them. I don't care if they were homosexual, transsexual, transgender, homeless, heroin addict, drug addict, opioid addict, alcoholic. I don't care. They can be used by God and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so when they come and they come before God, we can't prejudge them.
Amen.
We are no more children of God than they are. When they call upon Him as Lord and Savior, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. He indwells them on the inside, and therefore they have access to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, direction of the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, all of those things they now have access to. It doesn't just belong to the pretty people.
Amen.
Thank God. It doesn't just belong to the pretty people, to the people that you and I think are worthy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
To the people you and I think deserve Him.
Yes. Amen.
Because I didn't deserve Him. I don't deserve Him.
Amen.
I don't deserve the Holy Spirit in my life. I've never done one thing in my whole life that earns anything from God.
Amen.
Not one thing. And that's what makes us all equal.
Amen.
In the sight of God.
Yes.
Salvation. The great equalizer.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is no respecter of persons.
Mm.
And all who call upon him will be saved.
Amen. Yes, yes.
And when you look further in verses 19 through 21, it talks about the future. It talks about, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a future event that has not yet taken place. We're living in the last age, the church age. Right? When Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came, we entered the last age, the church age. The first half of Joel was accomplished on the day of Pentecost. The last half is coming when God judges the world. And so then Peter goes on to exhort with a message that's amazing. Starting in verse 22. Now I'm not going to read you the whole message, but I do want to point out something to you that we must understand as Pentecostals. Pentecostals have a negative connotation to it. Holy rollers, charismatics, right?
Right.
Let me tell you something about the working of the Holy Spirit. He always points back to Christ.
Amen.
All of these great things that were happening on the day of Pentecost pointed to one person, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It wasn't for the make the people around there look good because they were speaking all these languages. It wasn't there to make them feel good about themselves. He wasn't there so they could show off and perform. He was there so Peter could deliver the message that starts in verse 22. Yeah. That's the truth. Right? He was there so that the boldness and the power, so people would stop and recognize the authority of what was happening. Why? So they could point back to Christ.
Amen. Right.
See, the Holy Spirit and His gifts and His power, while they edify us, everything ultimately is a point back to God. So when the Holy Spirit gives you joy, you point back to Jesus.
Yes.
And when the Holy Spirit gives you strength, you point back to Jesus.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit gives you a peace, you point back to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does, you always point back to Jesus. If you are not pointing back to Jesus, you are grieving the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
If you are not pointing back to Jesus, then I question the Holy Spirit's moving in your life, in my life.
Amen.
If it doesn't point back to Jesus, the glory of Christ, the worship of God, the honor of God, the honor of the Father, then the Holy Spirit may not have anything to do with it. So rolling around on the floor, come on, if it ain't honoring God, Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Speaking in tongues, if it's not edifying the body of God, Holy Spirit is not in that. That is the bottom line. He is sent to edify the body, and he is sent to edify God, to worship God. He is not my toy to take off and play with and then put him back on the shelf when I'm done. He's not my little baton I take out and twirl to amaze everyone with my super-duper Holy Spirit skills and then put him back on the shelf after I leave church on Sunday mornings. That's how we treat him. Oh, I'm going to go in today, and I'm going to show these people how much of the Holy Spirit I got in me.
Amen.
Watch my worship. Watch my praise. Watch what I do today. Meanwhile, through the rest of the week, we haven't even talked to him.
Wow.
Right? I used to play trumpet for a lot of years. And I played for one reason, that was to be seen. I played in church. I wasn't even very good, but I still like to be seen. I like to play. I enjoyed playing. I loved it when people came up and said, hey, great job. We're playing today in service. Here's the crazy thing. I would ignore the trumpet all week long. And on Sunday mornings, I'd whip it out, and then I'd play a few notes ready to go, and I'd get up and perform. Good, bad, and different, but I was there for the glory of man.
Wow.
I kept it stored in its case during the week, and I only pulled it out on Sunday. I never practiced. I never got any better. I only stayed where I was at because I ignored the instrument all week long, and then I pulled it out on Sunday and played a few notes. You and I ignore the Holy Spirit all week long, and then we bring him in our little case, and we want to open it up and let him loose, and we expect to be filled and working and anointed when what happens is we're so desperately trying to show off and show out that we're actually in the flesh.
Wow.
Right? Everything that we do through the power of the Holy Spirit is to edify the body and to bring glory to God.
Amen.
Bottom line is, if you're doing anything to glorify yourself and not God, the Holy Spirit's not in that.
That's right.
Because it's not about me or my faith.
Amen.
In fact, the faith I have came from God. To each is given a measure of faith. My faith of believing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior came from God. I didn't come up with that on my own.
Amen.
That's nothing to do with my faith. That has nothing to do with my obedience. That has everything to do with God. So when God uses us in his mercy and grace and the Holy Spirit empowers us and uses us, that's nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. We think we own his gifts. We think we own what he does. We think we have some sort of claim on him. We have no claim on him.
Amen.
He is a gift. And as such, he uses us as we are willing to be used to bring him glory.
Amen.
Not me. Him. And if it's being done for the edification of just me, let it be done in private. That's what Paul says, say it to yourself, in the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, he says, if it's being done to edify you, then let it be done in quiet.
Amen.
Keep it to yourself.
Because
God does do that to edify you.
Yes.
But that's not to be on the street corner blurting it out at the top of your lungs, because people are going to know you are drunk in the middle of the day. How does that bring glory to God when there's no interpretation? I read a story several years ago about a youth group, and they were just bragging about how they went into the local mall. The youth pastor was so excited because all these teenagers went into their mall and started worshiping God and speaking in tongues. Well, I'm proud of you, but what did you accomplish? All you did was make a bunch of people in the mall think, well, those jokers are crazy. You weren't edifying God, you were edifying yourself.
Wow.
Right? I mean, that is a hard, cold truth. Pentecostals don't like to hear that. But it's why there is the Holy Spirit is looked down upon and even rejected, is because of people who were very vocal, who abused, took advantage of, did things in his name that weren't even him.
Amen.
So whenever we operate in the Holy Spirit's power, remember, as Peter did, it goes back to God.
Amen.
It goes back to him. Every word that we speak, it should go back to him. When you experience the Holy Spirit's power, you need to give God the glory.
Amen. Yes.
Right? You need to let him know. If the Holy Spirit does something mighty in you, tell him thank you. In fact, I'd like to know myself, because it would encourage me a little bit.
Amen.
Right? You think when I ask you to testify, that's to fill up time and service? Absolutely not. When I ask you to testify, because this brother needs to hear about what God did for somebody that week. Because see, sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wish God would do something.
Mm-hmm.
So tell him. When the Holy Spirit does something for you, tell him. Tell him thank you. Let God's children know, thank you, thank you, because it brings him glory.
Amen.
You're not bragging on you, you're bragging on God.
Yes.
I was hurting and I was going through this situation, but the Holy Spirit gave me the strength to make it through. I thank him.
Amen.
Yes.
Give him glory. Give him honor. Amen. If you and I would just start to approach him in that way, that everything that is done to glorify him, just like Peter, to point the message back to him.
Right.
We'll see what happened on the day of Pentecost happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, when Peter finished delivering that message after the supernatural pour out of the Holy Spirit and the signs and the manifestation that happened, Peter preached the gospel, and the Bible says there in Acts chapter 2, I believe it's verse 37, that they were cut to the heart.
Yes.
They said, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Amen.
Peter, what can we do?
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
We've been cut to the heart. So the manifestation was to bring them to the point of salvation.
Yeah. Yes.
Write that down. That's actually a good quote. Someone tweaked that. manifestation resulted in their salvation.
Amen.
Not the other way around. Their salvation didn't result in manifestation. the manifestation result of their salvation. Why? Because it always pointed back to God. And so they were cut to the heart. So now the Holy Spirit was able to operate in the lives of unbelievers. He was able to convict. In fact, that word cut means pierce.
Yes.
It's a sudden action. It'd be like me coming up to Jack and stabbing him in the back without him knowing it was coming. Right? Or stabbing somebody without having any idea that it's coming. They had no idea. They were sitting there going, these guys got to be drunk. These guys are out of their mind. What's going on? What are they doing? We don't understand. And then out of nowhere, Peter preaches this message, and it isn't a long message. It's a short message, right? Much shorter than I preach on Sunday mornings. He preaches, and next thing you know, the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of those people, and they are suddenly stabbed in the heart.
Amen. Yes.
The Holy Spirit was able to do that because of the manifestation that resulted in Peter pointing everyone back to God, and then the Holy Spirit convicted their hearts. See, that's how it's supposed to work.
Amen. Yes.
When Jesus said in the book of Mark that signs and wonders and all these things would follow, that was to point everyone to the gospel.
Right.
It is a verification of the gospel message. Right? It is there to verify that what is being said is from God, which then leads to salvation.
Amen.
Right? And so Peter preached, they were convicted, and on that day, 3,000 were added to the church.
Amen.
Thank you. It started with the manifestation of the supernatural, the Holy Spirit. Peter got up, pointed everyone to Christ. As they were marveling at the manifestation that they could not explain. And then after he pointed everyone to Christ, the Holy Spirit, he didn't have to give an altar call. He didn't have to beg. He didn't have to pull on their heartstrings. I've met some pastors they'll have an altar call every service and have 15 people come up and rededicate themselves because they strive in guilt. He didn't have to do any of that. He preached his message. Boom. Holy Spirit did his work. Next thing you know, 3,000 people are saved, and it was most likely much more than that. That was probably just the men. There were probably more over 6,000. They got saved at one time. They were added to the church. Manifestation, point to Jesus, salvation.
Yes.
That's the way it's supposed to work. So when you and I are looking at being used, being empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what we need to keep in mind. When we're asking for more of him, remember that it's for God's glory. When we're asking for more of him, it's not for us. It's for give glory to God.
Amen.
Right? It's not just for us. It's to bring glory to God. So as we're going through this series, as we continue to look at the Holy Spirit and what he does and what he can do, I'm building the foundation here. The foundation being we need him. He can transform us. And then finally, that he is there for us, not just for us, but for the world around us to give glory to God so they can see that God is real, that he loves, he's powerful, and that he can change lives. That's what it's all about. When he takes a drunk and makes him sober, that's a miracle from God. When he takes an opioid addict and he sets them free, that's a miracle from God. When he takes a homosexual, transsexual, a sexist, someone who's caught in sexual sin, and he sets them free, that's a miracle from God. People can't question their testimony because they were this, and now they're this, and they say, look, man, God did this for me. See, I was this all these years, and then I prayed and asked God for his mercy and his forgiveness. The Holy Spirit came upon me. I was transformed, and now I'm this. It's like that guy who was filled with demons and at the pig farm in the desert, in the cemetery, right? And he was crazy out of his mind, going around cutting himself, and they couldn't do anything to keep him restrained. But the Bible says that after he met Jesus, they came back the next day, and he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. There is no question why suddenly he was seated and clothed in his right mind. Why? It was because of Jesus Christ. See, everybody saw him walk up to the Son of God that day naked and cut up and uncontrollable. And everybody saw him the next day when he'd taken a shower, was shaved, when they saw him all cleaned up, and suddenly he was in control of all his faculties.
Amen.
They could not argue with what he had. He came because they knew what he was.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.